This is Serenade Radio with the best in easy listening. Now here's Mark Stein with Stein's Song of the Week.
What does it take to make movie magic? A set of a city street, a lamppost, some artfully positioned fake puddles, water pumping trucks, an actor with an umbrella, oh, and a song. We'll get to the rest of the number, but it's hard to imagine it without that perfect doodly-doo-doo vamp. A vamp is a repeated musical figure independent of the main tune that helps get you in the mood for it. Like that killer opening of New York, New York. Bump, bump. Ba-da-dum. We've done a show on that. But everyone loves that doodly-doo-doo vamp, even as Dave King disparages the song to Matt Monro live on British telly. The vamp tells you otherwise.
What do you fancy singing then?
How about singing in the rain?
What, without weather? Are you mad? And you want to sing in it?
But it's a very nice tune. Listen. How can you dislike that?
Well, I don't fancy it all that much.
It's very pretty.
Wow. I don't really fancy it. I'm not struck.
You will be in a minute.
Oh, you'll get soaked.
Even folk singers do that, vamp. John Martin. Leif Garrett. And Mononymous Rockers, Taco.
My God, you fly thousands of miles to get some sun, and it's raining cats and dogs. Typical tropical. I go on vacation and Mother Nature gives up on me. Yeah, what a lady. Thanks for at least sending it down preheated. It doesn't seem to bother the natives, though. Back home it gets no one laughing. And here they even sing to it. Must be some voodoo rain chant or something. And it sure sounds familiar. Oh, well, I'm singing in the rain.
Bill accuses that vamp. As do string quartets. Singing in the rain. So who wrote that song? Well, how about Jimmy Durante?
You wrote that this morning?
Yeah. It's something they remember.
Yeah, I remember it already.
Yeah, I remember it already, too. That's because it was, in fact, written by Nacio Herb Brown and Arthur Freed and introduced in one of the very first screen musicals, The Hollywood Review of 1929.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with your rain, I've got a smile on my face. I'll walk down the lane with a happy refrain. Just singing, singing in the rain.
That's Ukulele Ike singing in the rain, but not dancing in it, because he has to stay close to the microphone, secreted behind a fake tree. Meanwhile, some rather clunky dancers come on and move about without uttering a sound, because they're nowhere near a microphone. You notice there's no extended vamp there, just a Ukulele Ike ululation. Well, the song was a hit. Ukulele Ike had a big-selling record in 1929, but in the years that followed, it never quite caught on as a standard, because singers like singing love songs, and Arthur Freed's lyric leaves it until a vocal interlude after the chorus to explain that he's singing in the rain, not because he's a weird kinky precipitation fetishist, but because he's hot for you.
Why am I happy? And why do I sing? Why does December seem sunny as spring? Why do I get up each morning to start happy and head up with joy in my heart? Why is each new task a trifle to do? Because I'm living a life full of you.
Why does December seem happy as spring? Because I am living a life full of you. That's why I'm singing in the rain. Yet the chorus itself never mentions that, so it's just about a guy who digs crummy weather. But Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer owned the song, so every few years they dust it off and put it in a picture. I always loved this one. Young Judy Garland as Little Nellie Kelly.
I'm singing in the rain. Oh, I'm singing in the rain. Clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart. I'm getting ready for love. Stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. And come on with the rain. I've a smile on my face. I walk down the lane with a happy refrain. And
very Judy re-accenting on that chorus. 1940, Little Nellie Kelly. The producer of that film was a man called Arthur Freed. And if you're thinking, hang on, wasn't the lyricist of Singin' in the Rain a man called Arthur Freed? What a coincidence. A Hollywood songwriter and a Hollywood producer both having the same name. Well, in fact, they're the same fellow. Arthur Freed got his big break in vaudeville. He ran into Minnie Marks, mother and manager of the Marx Brothers, and she put him in the act. And then he started writing songs in a more or less full-time partnership with Nacio Herb Brown at MGM. After a decade or so of that, the studio shoved him into an uncredited producing role in the somewhat chaotic hierarchy of The Wizard of Oz. Arthur Freed is the fellow who fought to keep that song in the movie when everyone around him wanted to cut it. It went on to win the Oscar, and Louis B. Mayer was impressed and made Freed a producer. And he became a far greater producer than he ever was a songwriter. Although his catalogue is also impressive. You Were Meant for Me, Temptation, All I Do Is Dream of You. But it's eclipsed best because he became the very greatest producer of screen musicals in the history of film. Meet Me in St. Louis, Easter Parade, and American in Paris. At which point, enter Comden and Green. If you don't know who Comden and Green are, here am I introducing them half a lifetime ago. Betty Comden and Adolph Green are one of the longest-running partnerships in the entertainment world. They've been together for over 40 years.
No!
Since,
why do people keep saying that all the time?
Since On the Town in December 1944, I think.
New York, New York!
Songs, great songs like that and this.
Just in time, I found you just in time.
And this.
The party's over. It's time to call it a day.
Oh, and this.
Make someone happy. Make just one someone.
Those are Broadway songs from Broadway shows. Out in Hollywood at MGM, Comden and Green were more in demand as screenwriters. For An American in Paris, Arthur Freed had taken a bunch of old Gershwin songs and got a blockbuster movie out of them. So he figured, if we can do it with Gershwin, why not with me? Here's Betty Comden and Adolph Green.
The assignment to write the movie Singing in the Rain was given to us by our producer, who was Arthur Freed, who had been a lyricist with Nancy Herb Brown, and we were handed a stack of sheet music, and he said, kids, write a movie called Singing in the Rain and get all my songs into it. And that's all we had to begin with. So it was a very difficult task. We just played songs over and picked songs and finally decided to put the story in the period in which most of these songs were written, the early days of sound and sound musicals. But we picked a period that actually was full of a lot of tragedy, the transition to sound, but
awesome.
We wanted to write a funny picture.
We were so happy about Singing in the Rain, and we always were, but to write it and to conceive of the thing with the songs there before we had a story, it was a big task.
It's obviously completely different from the way you'd work in the theater.
Oh, surely. When you're conceiving the story, then you write the songs as they seem to come out of the story, coming out of character, coming out of situation. This way you have the songs first, then you have to create the situations. And as we always say about Singing in the Rain, all we knew was that somewhere we'd have to write a scene where it would be raining and a guy would be singing.
In it,
yeah.
One of the best rhythm tunes I know came out of a picture, the first sensational musical made in this country when the transition was made from silent to sound. This country was electrified by this beautiful piece of musical work in a picture. And Arthur Freed and Nacio Brown wrote one of my pet tunes called Singing in the Rain, and Arthur Freed is going to play it at this time.
Comden and Green are right. The rapid switch from silent to sound was tragic for many. The hunky, manly cowboy who was revealed in talkies to have a squeaky Minnie Mouse voice. The elegant, worldly grand dame who turned out to bark like a fishwife. But the birth of sound was also the birth of the movie song. And all those years later, you can hear in Arthur Freed singing a certain pride in that.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing. Singing in the rain, what a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I have a smile on my face. I'll walk down the lane with a happy refrain and sing it, just singing in the rain.
Now you'll notice that Arthur Freed never goes doodly-doo-doo, doodly-doodly-doo, doodly-doo when he sings it, nor does his composing partner, Nacio Herb Brown, go doodly-doo-doo when he sits down to play it at the piano. Let's let's go back to that Comden and Green line about all we knew is that at some point we'd have to have a scene where it was raining and a guy was singing in it. And you may be thinking, come on, how hard can that be? But Gene Kelly and his co-director Stanley Donen were very exercised by that transition from dialogue to song, which is always the most perilous moment of a musical. I heard this firsthand from both Mr. Donen and Mr. Kelly, at great length from Stanley, who explained with references going all the way back to Flying Down to Rio, which transitions to song worked and which didn't. And I heard it rather more tersely from Gene Kelly, who told me he dreaded turning into Nelson Eddy and Jeanette MacDonald, where 1 second it's naturalistic dialogue, and 2 seconds later some soprano is shattering the windows at full volume. So they gave great thought as to how, in a scene where it's raining, you get from the rain to the guy singing in it. And they tried various things, and none of them worked. And then Roger Edens of the MGM Music Department said, "Tell you what, I'll write you a little vamp to get you from the talking to the singing." Et voilà.
Good night, Kathy. See you tomorrow.
Good night, darling. Take care of that throat. You're a big singing star now, remember? This California dew was just a little heavier than usual tonight.
Really? From where I stand, the sun is shining all over the place. In my heart, and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain.
Space alien from planet Zongo lands and wants to know what the MGM musical, or indeed in the larger sense, the golden age of Hollywood, was all about. Well, you could try to explain it, or you could just show them one number. made for leaping on and twirling? A cop with his truncheon. And a street full of artificial puddles. And suddenly a quarter century old tune and lyric plus a vamp all come together as the apotheosis of an art form.
Dancing and singing in the rain.
Does it depress you that almost as soon as, because within a few years of Bandwagon and Singing in the Rain, it was all over. The MGM musical was gone.
Well, and all musicals seem to be more or less. Well, no. The kind of original screen musicals were gone, which had their own special spontaneity and invention that seemed to revert to a stage plays filmed as if they were ready for television, yeah.
And the industry changed so much then. I think it didn't have a lot to do with the fact that the whole studio system had broken down somewhat, and big studios that had great departments, music departments, and arrangers and costumes, and so, you know, people who were there on call all the time. It was a going industry.
And there was none like MGM's department, yeah.
Extraordinary.
Yeah. I think Roger Edens had a lot to do with it. He got a lot of people into the Freed Department and wonderful orchestrators and arrangers like Connie Salinger and Lenny Hayton and Adolf Deutsch. And there was just a sound that identified the MGM musicals, especially in the 1950s. I just listen to them now and I still,
that's a great sound.
Adolph Green mentioned Roger Edens, the man who came up with that fabulous vamp for Gene Kelly's big number, and you've heard all those singers who consciously or otherwise have kept that vamp in their own arrangements. Is there any way to do it without the vamp? Well, sure. If you do it disco.
I'm the new sunshine, I'm singing in the rain. I'm the new sunshine, I'm dancing in the rain. I'm the new sunshine, I'm singing in the rain.
This was a minor hit for Sheila B. Devotion.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again.
I'm singing in the rain? Might as well be singing in the Seine. Or you can make like the cast of the TV show Glee and do it as a mashup with a much more recent song, Umbrella, and special guest Gwyneth Paltrow.
You can't see shiny cars, and that's when you'll need me there. With you, I'll always share.
Liz Callaway did. Liz is the sister of Anne Hampton Callaway, whom we play quite a bit of at 7-8. She threw out the Gene Kelly vamp and replaced it with Bacharach and David's very particular arrangement of their own song, Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head.
I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining, so I'm singing.
Fried meet Burt Bacharach and Hal David. Clever. Or maybe too clever? Clever, clever? You can see why 99% of singers find it easier just to keep Roger Eden's vamp. But when exactly did he come up with it? 1952, when the film Singin' in the Rain was made? Well, aside from all his other talents, Roger Eden's was for virtually her entire career Judy Garland's pianist and vocal coach. And whatever formal credit he took on a picture, the one thing he always did was routine the numbers with her. So there he was, 12 years earlier, working with Judy on Little Nellie Kelly. Listen closely to the orchestra.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I walk down the lane with a happy refrain and singing, just singing in the rain.
Did you hear that? Just underneath Judy Garland, that doodly-doo-doo, a vamp in embryo, 12 years before Gene Kelly socked it around the world. So we know Roger Edens was using it at least as early as 1940. Does it go back beyond that? Well, I said that back in 1929, Singin' in the Rain had been a hit, not just for Ukulele Ike, but also for Earl Burnett's band and Gus Arnheim's. And various other combos recorded it too, Jack Hilton in London and in New York, the Dorsey Brothers. That's Tommy and Jimmy. They didn't tour, it was just a studio band. And on July the 12th, 1929, they went into the studio and recorded this. Guess is that the arranger on that cut was a fella called Frank Skinner. I can't say for sure, but he was around when they were doing that, and so presumably he came up with that doodly-doo-doo vamp, because no other version of Singin' in the Rain had anything like it in 1929, back when the song was new and Gene Kelly was a journalism student at Pennsylvania State College. That Dorsey Brothers record wasn't big at all, but maybe Roger Edens just heard it somewhere along the way, revived it a decade on for Little Nellie Kelly, and made it immortal with Gene Kelly another 12 years later. What was it Betty and Adolph said to me?
As we always say about Singin' in the Rain, all we knew was that somewhere we'd have to write a scene where it would be raining and a guy would be singing. In it, yeah.
Dancing and singing in the rain.
A guy singing in it, now and forever.
Stein's Song of the Week was presented by Mark Stein and produced for Serenade Radio by Brian Savin.